Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, it's Michael, and it's great to introduce Gavin Neat again. We spoke to Gavin a couple of months ago regarding some of the projects he was currently working on, and it's great to have him back to talk about two of the projects which are actually just in the testing or just about to launch. So, hi Gavin.
Hi Michael, thanks very much for having me back on the show. It's a real pleasure to be speaking to VI Talk again.
And do you want to just start by giving us a quick little bit of history about yourself, just a moment, just in people didn't hear the original talk?
Yeah, certainly. I've spent the last 18 years working for Guide Dogs for the Blind, which is a wonderful charity, does some superb work. But whilst I was working for Guide Dogs for the Blind, I became increasingly aware of some issues. And just to sort of, the issues seem to cover every single base. And I can sum them up by saying that the world that we live in didn't seem to be designed particularly well for people, not just with a visual impairment, but who were living with disability. And when I sort of underline that with just some stats that came out just recently from the World Health Organization, that we're currently got something like 10 million people over 65 in the UK, and by 2050 they're looking to see that rise to around about 19 million, which is a really dramatic rise over the next few years for that particular age demographic. And if we then take into consideration that age and disability are totally linked together, then we are looking at a situation where if we don't design our infrastructure and the world around us to cater for lots of different people, and certainly in this age range, then we're going to have increasing problems. So basically what I was seeing in what I was doing was that these problems exist. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that there wasn't really anybody who seemed to truly understand that from the point of view of design and implementation of design.
Really, from that, you've had a few projects and a few things you thought of, and you're working on those, and we're going to talk about two of them, like I said, which are just about to come into fruition. And shall we start with one of the things which especially elderly people, visually impaired people, always struggle with, which is crossing roads?
Yeah, certainly. And this one's the one that was close to my heart, I suppose, because it's the one that really stood out to me very early on. And I was observing my clients getting to the curb edge or the down curb on the, certainly with pedestrian crossings where there's the tactile paving, and then reaching out with their right hand or their left hand to try and find the crossing control box. And very often they were bumping into other people, or it was so far away, or it was set back from the side of the road. And I was just thinking, there has to be a better way of doing that. And it wasn't just really, at the time I was looking at visual impairment, but then the more I looked into it, the more I realized this was a problem for people with mobility vehicles or in wheelchairs, be they on their own or with somebody else. If somebody's pushing a wheelchair, it might be that the person who's pushing the wheelchair can't, they're not going to push all the way up to the pole, press the button, and then go all the way back to where they were before. And they're certainly not going to leave the person in the wheelchair sitting at the curb edge and then run up to the pole and press that. So it seemed to cover a lot of bases. This was an issue for lots of people. The more I looked at it, the more I realized it was an issue. And then that was really underlined when I presented at Warwick University on a paper entitled Challenges Faced by People with Disability at Pedestrian Crossings. And I won the award for most thought-provoking presentation in a room full of traffic engineers. Now, it's always great to be recognised as winning an award or something like that, but really it was a shock, and it's an award I would prefer not to have won, because they basically underlined that these traffic engineers didn't really understand the situation and understand how big a problem it was for people in crossing roads. If I go back to my original statement, which was about the amount of people we have over certain age groups, if people aren't able to walk and if people aren't able to cross roads, then we've got a real big problem. Crossing roads is a massive part of getting from A to B.
What is it you've actually done which will revolutionise crossing roads for obviously disabled and obviously people in wheelchairs, etc.?
Well, it really came from the point of view of looking for a solution that fitted the problem, rather than the other way around, looking for problems that fitted solutions. And I thought, well, what we need to be able to do is one of two things. Either we get the councils to move all of the poles to exactly where we want them to be, which, let's face it, in this age of austerity, isn't going to happen. It costs tens of thousands of pounds to move crossing poles from A to B, and even then they might be in the wrong place. Or we find a way of remotely pressing the button. This was something that had been done previously with RFID key fobs. Now, if you don't know, RFID is radio frequency. And basically, it's a little key fob that you would have that would then, using radio frequencies, would press the button at the crossing. Now, that was something that had been trialed before, but it would only, it's an extra piece of kit that you have to carry around with you. It's a battery that you have to have charged up. You would have to order the bit of kit. It would have to come through the post or whatever. And then you just, maybe it wouldn't be suitable for all crossings in the country if there was one in another area or something like that. So I thought, well, what's a bit of kit that we're going to have walking around, we're going to have in our pockets when we're walking around? And it seemed to be increasingly that it was mobile phones or smartphones. So it just seemed like a really obvious solution to try and find a way of pressing the button from the smartphone, which is ultimately what we did using Bluetooth or Bluetooth 4, which is another name for that is Bluetooth Low Energy. So we basically found a way of installing the signaling device inside the crossing box, which would look for mobile phones that were running a certain application. When the mobile phone got close to the crossing, they would communicate with each other without you having to do anything, and then you'd have the opportunity to press the button on your mobile phone. Or you could press the button on the actual crossing itself and then take up position. And the reason that we could do that was because the crossing would know that you had a requirement to either increase the crossing length or to turn on an audible signal where it had been turned off at a certain time of night, which certainly would allow you the opportunity to take up a position prior to the actual signal going off. So yeah, pressing from a distance with a mobile device was the way we went. And we proved the concept a couple of years back with a trial that we ran in Edinburgh. We then did a demo outside of the Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh, where we had MSPs coming along and testing it out. Just recently, I returned from Trafex at the NEC Birmingham, where we were installed in Telent Kit. Telent are a big British company that have a very big influence in traffic system design and installation in the UK, and also with Imtech, who are a big Dutch company with a British arm. Anyway, they were very keen, they were very interested, and at the same time, Lothian Health Board gave me funding to install another crossing in Edinburgh to further test the actual solution. And at the same time as that happened, also RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, said that they would like to install a trial crossing in at their head office at Gogaburn, where 3,500 people work at their office. And it would be an opportunity to really demonstrate it there. So these are all funded trials, and it means that we can start really proving the concept and testing it to make sure that this is something that's viable.
So there's sort of a few crossings already out, and do you think that will get rolled out further over the coming months and years?
That's the $6 million question. What I need is to convince the authorities there's a problem, which isn't difficult to do when they open their eyes and see exactly what's happening and how people are having to access this kit, the kit that's installed already. But then we have to make sure that they understand this is actually solving a problem and not going to cost them more. In fact, it will cost them less. The amount of deaths on British roads with pedestrians, and specifically over 60-year-olds, was released by Brake today, the charity Brake, and it's gone up. It's something like 12% of all road deaths are pedestrians over 60, which is just phenomenal. In fact, it's doubled since the last study was taken. So there's a very good reason for the council to say we need to look at alternatives. And we believe if we can prove this as an alternative, then it's a no-brainer, as they say, for it to potentially get rolled out.
Right. So, you know, just watch this space, and obviously you'll keep us informed what's happening and where you're up to and any new locations where you can test this. And I presume just before we go on to sort of the next really exciting thing as well, is it a particular app people need to download in case they are going up to Scotland and get the chance so they can give it a try themselves?
I would be really keen for them to contact me if they would like to try it. It's not up and running yet, but it's the funding, the actual project has started now, and we should have it installed certainly within the next 3 months. But if people wanted to contact me at neatbox.com or at gavin@neatbox.com, or indeed look me up at Neatbox on Facebook or Twitter, then people can contact me and follow how the project is getting on. And I'd be very, very happy if somebody was north of the border, if they wanted to get in touch, and I would be very happy to show it to them.
We're going to actually move on to something that I'm really excited about as well. And I mean, I like to go to museums, go to different things. I mean, I love the arts. Not as big a fan as some people, but I find it's quite inaccessible, finding out what's on these boards and what's on show and things like that. And I think Gavin's been working on a bit of a solution, which, you know, is being rolled out and hopefully will be rolled out further. So do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, certainly. This one's quite exciting because it's just about to be rolled out. As you say, it might be rolled out by the time the show goes live. We've been looking at tourism as a way of utilising the technology that we're working with in order to get information about a museum or art gallery or just the middle of a town centre, information into the hand of the person as they're walking around in a format that they can engage with. And with information that's incredibly engaging. Now, the way that we've done that with the app that's going to be going live is on the Royal Mile, which is the main street in Edinburgh, which is, it's a mile, strangely enough, and it goes from Edinburgh Castle down to Holyrood Palace. It's incredibly historic. It's always been a palace at the bottom and the castle at the top. But on that mile are loads of little side streets, loads of little side streets. And these side streets have amazing history. But as you walk up and down, it's impossible to know about that history. Well, what we've done is we've installed beacons in all of these closes, or certainly a proportion of these closes within a certain area. And as you walk into the close, it unlocks a position in your phone that then gives you information about the close you've just walked into. So, for instance, I'm fairly certain that a lot of your listeners will have heard of Burke and Hare, the grave robbers, or what were called grave robbers. They were actually killing people before they were actually in the group, getting them in the grave. They knocked them off, and then they would sell them to a chap called Dr. Knox, who would give them money for the bodies, because Edinburgh was really into medical research at the time. Anyway, they lived on, although a lot of what they did was on a close called Gibbs Close. And at this time, you walk past Gibbs Close and you have no understanding that there's anything there. But if you download this app, which is free, yeah, Edinburgh Council have set it all up, you download the app, walk around Edinburgh City Centre, you walk into a close or past the end of a close, and it gives you information. We got a storyteller to tell these stories, write the stories, and then tell the stories in an incredibly engaging way. And we feel that by doing it in that way, we're appealing to lots of people. The idea is to get it into different languages. Obviously, with visual impairment being the focus of VI Talk, the story itself is something that is great for a sighted person, great for a blind person. So having something that is inclusive is massive for us. It's massive for me because it's a real passion of mine that we can design with inclusivity in mind. I'm a little bit fed up of organizations that say we've designed something purely for somebody who's got a disability, because in a way that separates people with disability and people without disability, or the perception of. Now, I'm a great believer that disability is more a state of mind than it is a state of physicality, certainly in some ways. And if we design things that can be engaging and can be accessed by as many people as possible, well, we can level that playing field. So really nice quality stories. We've also put text onto the story as well. That opens up automatically, so you could get text should you wish to read text. And in future revisions, we're going to be adding in British Sign Language, little videos of British Sign Language. So they're going to be accessible to lots of different people. Now, we see this as being massive for the future. We could roll this out in castles, we could put it in museums and art galleries. And the idea here is it doesn't need Wi-Fi and it doesn't need internet. It doesn't have to attach itself to GPS or anything. It's purely using the beacons to unlock information when you walk past. This will be going live, certainly, if not next week, the week after. And at that point, people could just download it. The app is called Edinburgh Up Close. and you'll be able to download it no matter where you are. It's free. If you want, you can download it, have a little look about at the About section, and then just delete it. Or, of course, you can get yourselves on public transport or whatever, get yourself up to Edinburgh. It's a super place to stay, obviously. I don't work for the tourist board. But then have a little wander up and down the Royal Mile, take a sighted guide from somebody else, or walk up and down yourselves. And when you walk past one of the close entrances, get information about exactly where you're standing. We are just doing it for tourism at this point, but quite obviously this could be used for wayfinding as well.
This sounds amazing, really, doesn't it? Because like you say, it's fully inclusive, because your friend, fully sighted friend, could be going up there. They're going to miss out on so much of the history and what's going on yeah. in that mile. And they can download the app, they can access it. Like I said, the deaf person could access it with the text. And yeah. like you said, you know, or the sign language, and again, for us who miss so much, you know, we'll get that yeah. all that extra information as well, which it will make what would be a quick 20-minute walk down the mile, and maybe the odd little thing which someone points out, could be you could make a day out of just listening to all the information.
Yeah. And it's
fun. And the only thing I would say is make sure you've got a spare battery charger with you, because
yeah, it makes sense to carry one of these little battery chargers with you. But the uses three of the museums on the Royal Mile. We've got the Museum of Childhood, the People's Story Museum, and Huntley House Museum of Edinburgh. And if you go in there, you can just plug in a charger if you've got a charger with you. And there's loads of coffee shops on that route anyway, so you potentially can just pop in. I will say two fantastic little stories very quickly. I was walking along with a lady who was visually impaired. She was taking my arm, and I was giving her sighted guide. She had her headphones on, and she was telling me about what we were walking past. And she was buzzing, because she became the information giver. It wasn't the other way around, as it is so often when it comes to visual impairment. You're waiting for somebody to give you audio description. Well, she was telling me about the things that we walked past, and she was buzzing because of that. And the other one was another gentleman who said, because he was using his mobile phone to do this, he said he walked around Stirling Castle just recently, and he used the RFID system. You know, the one that you hold to your ear and you walk around and you get information and then you hand it back. Well, he says, that's great for everybody, and it's great on the day, but when you hand it back, you're not taking anything away with you. And when you're visually impaired, it's nice to have a memory of a story. Now, if you've got it on your mobile phone and you've done the discovery part, the walking around, you go home, the actual tour is still on your phone, so you can then relive it and let other people listen to it and say, this is what we did.
So with the app, as well as it automatically picking up, could you, if you were here, could you actually explore that mile remotely before you went?
No, what we're trying to do, and I know that there is a tendency to want to do that, and I believe one of the biggest selling apps you could possibly get is for the Vatican City, and more people download the Vatican City app and go around it from other parts of the world. However, what we want to do is we want people to come to Edinburgh and to explore themselves if they can get there. I think there is definitely an opportunity, once somebody has downloaded the app, to actually then go and do a bit of self-study and look at the different names of the streets and say, I'll just do a search on the internet and see about that street. But what we want to do is we want to encourage people to come to Edinburgh and to actually explore themselves.
Of course. And then from a tourism point of view, it means more of these will be rolled out because people are coming to experience them rather than sitting in the front room and experiencing them that way. So I really like that idea.
Thank you.
So do you want to just let us know again how people can get in touch with you and how people can experience these services?
Yeah, certainly. Well, my website is neatbox, and that's spelt neatebox.com. So that's neatbox.com. But you can write to me directly at gavin@neatbox.com, obviously. And you can follow me on Facebook, and that's Neatbox Limited on Facebook. And if people want to and can do that, then it's a really good way of raising the profile and talking about some of the problems, and I'm always out there taking photographs of pedestrian crossings, say, for instance, but we're also talking a lot more about accessible tourism and things like that now. And it's a great little place to actually have a chat. And of course, I can be followed on Twitter, and that's Gavin Neat. at NeatBox on Twitter. So yeah, please drop me a line if anybody has any interest at all. Then I'd be very, very happy to speak to you. And hopefully, if we're rolling out this tourism thing up the Royal Mile, it won't be too long before we're in York and Bath and London. Who knows? We could be anywhere with this.
Right. So do download the app, especially if you live in Scotland or near Edinburgh. You know, do check it out. And let Gavin have that feedback so they can roll out improvements and just get that tweaked and just perfect. So thank you very much, Gavin.
No, absolute pleasure, Michael. And thank you very much indeed to VI Talk for having me on again.
It's not a problem at all. And then keep us updated with the new project you're working on at the moment, when that comes. So that's something to be excited for in the future, guys.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.